The reading will not be put up on the screen this morning, so if you like to get out your own Bibles or the Pew Bible, it's on page 1037 in the Pew Bible, and it's Luke chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 22. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him."
Always feel when Jesus was with his disciples on that occasion, there's a sense of wonderment in Jesus that they don't get it. Still, they don't get it. I mean, these are guys who would have known all 150 psalms off by heart. And I can imagine Jesus doing the Bible study reflectively after this incident and said, "Now, you're just wondering what on earth has gone on, aren't you? Well, let's go to Psalm 107, verses 23 to 31. I think that might help us." And so he wouldn't have turned in his Bible. He'd have known it, and he'd probably gone through it verse by verse. You'll permit me if I don't read it in Hebrew. "Some of us set sail upon the sea to faraway ports, transporting our goods from ship to shore. We were witnesses of God's power. Out in the ocean deep, we saw breathtaking wonders upon the high seas. When God spoke, he stirred up a storm. And I can't read that first word. There we go. Lifting high the waves with hurricane winds." It's bigger. Oh yes, I should have turned round, shouldn't I? Oh dear. One of those mornings. "When God spoke, he stirred up a storm, lifting high the waves with hurricane winds." There you are, you've got it again. "Ships were tossed by swelling sea, rising to the sky, then dropping down to the depths, reeling like drunkards, spinning like tops, everyone at their wit's end, until even sailors despaired of life, cringing in terror. And then we cried out, 'Lord, help us, rescue us.' And he did. God stilled the storm, calmed the waves, and he hushed the hurricane winds to only a whisper. We were so relieved, so glad as he guided us safely to harbor in a quiet haven. So lift your hands and give thanks to God for his marvelous kindness and for his miracles of mercy for those he loves. Now then, disciples, what don't you understand? But if that's true, and that's true, and that's true, that makes you... God. Because he's the one who has command over the sea. He's the one who's able to bring peace. And of course, we see in that little story, I mean, it really is a lived out parable of a scriptural truth. These men in the ship, they are, the one thing that binds them together at this moment is fear. So much so they forget that they've got Jesus asleep with them. They're afraid. We're sinking. Don't you care? We're going to drown. And with great authority, Jesus rebuked the howling wind and surging waves. And instantly they stopped and became as smooth as glass. Why are you fearful? Have you lost your faith in me? And of course, the psalm we just read isn't the only one that talks about this. If you go to this passage, you'll see, God, you're such a safe and powerful place to find a refuge. You're a proven help in time of trouble, more than enough and always available wherever I need you. For the raging roar of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith in you. He's in the boat with you. The raging waves lifted themselves over and over, high above the ocean's depths, letting out their mighty roar. Yet at the sound of your voice, they were all stilled by your might. What a majestic king, filled with power, is in the boat with you. Some of you will actually have seen this in real life. This is the boat. Sometimes it's called the Jesus boat. The boat is to be found near Tiberias on the Sea of Galilee. It's all that's left of a 2,000-year-old fishing boat from Galilee. The boat that Jesus would have been in with his disciples would have been exactly like this. Except the holes weren't there. And of course the problem was, this was not a great substantial boat. It was not a ship in the sense that we see the liners going out of Tynemouth and even the trawlers that go out. It was a fairly flimsy operation, handled by three or four men usually. There may have been a few more in the boat on this occasion. And of course, one of the problems was that the Sea of Galilee, which you can see there on this diagram over to the right, it's 700 feet below sea level, so it's down a dip. And there are several significant valleys run into it. And one in particular, the one to the west over here, and you can see where they've put on where winds can go and how the wind can be directed down that valley and onto the Sea of Galilee very suddenly with very little notice, and it whips up the waves and you have a storm. And Galilee also happens to be in a rift valley that's caused by, well, GCSE geography, folks. But the Jordan River Valley. And wind can come down either of those. There's nothing to get it away. And when those winds hit the lake, There's a storm, and you can set out on what looks like a perfectly lovely sunny day. And before you know it, you're in a stormy world. And I want to take this parable, which happened to the disciples this morning, and just ask you to think about it in terms of our world and our life and our faith, all of which can get stormy at times. Think about the world. We seem to live in a storm, and all sorts of bits of the world at the moment seem to live in a storm of political instability. Whether it's Brexit and the questions over what awaits us the other side of it, or whether it's the people in Hong Kong, most of whom demonstrating have no memory of Tiananmen Square. And as according to Chinese history, Tiananmen Square never happened. You see this potential storm. And you know, we could list, if we went round the room, we could fill a board with storms of that kind to do with political stability around the world. And they worry us. Genuinely and reasonably so. Or there's the whole area of global security. When we hear of North Korea flinging a few more missiles into the air as they test new ones, or whether we hear about Russia increasing its nuclear armaments and the USA wanting to do the same, and all that business. And also then we've got the whole area of cyber security. What people can do when they hack into other people's computer systems. There's a storm of global security going on. Now, don't get me wrong. You see, you go back to any point in history and you will find people who will be talking about the problems of political instability and global insecurity. And then, of course, we put on top of that the whole area of climate change. And for many of us, the big issue is what's the world going to be for our children, for our grandchildren, for their children and grandchildren. You know, there's something quite amusing when we see the video of kangaroos hopping along in the snow, which was on the television this week. I don't know whether you saw it, but that's Australia. They don't get a lot of snow in those parts of Australia. Something wrong, or if you're in Yorkshire, you might get a bit of a sinking feeling if you're driving along that road. Or, of course, a few years ago on Thunder Thursday, this was Whitley Bay. We see the pictures of the icebergs, of the forest fires, of what's left behind in Mozambique after a major and uncharacteristic storm, of the drought in Zimbabwe, which always was so fertile and did so well for rain at the right time of year. And we know who's responsible for so much of the degradation of the world in which we live. The very people whom God said, I'm giving you responsibility for this. And we have a responsibility. So this is a fabricated picture, but there's the last polar bear, if you like, sitting on the ice, and the sea just strewn with plastic cartons and cups, even a little rubber duck down in the bottom left hand here. But all that stuff and people who go swimming all over the world saying, nowadays it's just so much worse than it ever used to be. There's a storm going on in the world. Storms that are political, that are global, that are to do with the climate. And then, of course, we each individually know how stormy life can be. There are the sort of self-inflicted storms. Debt. Overeating. Make sure you are not standing sideways on. Alcohol, drugs, all the usual stuff, and all those things that become like a domino rally in our lives if we're not careful. You click the first domino over, and then it clicks the next, and the next, and the next, and the next, and before you know it, life is spread out all over. Self-inflicted storms. And then life has uninvited storms. The uninvited storms of mental illness and depression that hit people out of nowhere. Of illness and disease that were not planned for and not expected. The accident, which may or may not be serious, but even not very serious accidents like getting a bump in one's car become so time-consuming and wasteful, and we feel as if we're in a storm when it's happening to us. Or unemployment. And again, we could draw a long, long list of these things. If we went round here, so many of you would have different experiences, different things that had happened in life you were not expecting. But he's in the boat. He's in the boat. What about when it comes to questions of faith? When we have questions, when we have doubts. I was so sad this morning that as soon as I said the word Celtic this morning, somebody got up and walked out and left the worship before we'd done anything. But we live in a world where there are storms going on in people's faith. Some of you who keep attentive to these things will know the name of Marty Sampson. Marty Sampson has been for years one of the key worship leaders at Hillsong and in Hillsong United. And he put out a tweet that said, "I'm genuinely losing my faith." And he goes on a little bit more about it. He says, "This is a soapbox moment, so here I go. How many preachers fall? Many. No one talks about it. How many miracles happen? Not many. No one talks about it. Why is the Bible full of contradictions? No one talks about it. How can God be love yet send 4 billion people to a place all because they don't believe? No one talks about it. Christians can be the most judgmental people on the planet. They can also be some of the most beautiful and loving people. But it's not for me. I'm not in anymore." And a number of people have written sort of open letters and responses. And it's tragic if we get to be the sort of church where people can't ask their genuine questions and express their genuine doubts without others questioning their Christianity and their faith. It seems to me if you don't ask questions, if you never doubt, You probably went to the crematorium some time ago. Because Christianity is not so much about having all the right answers as asking all the right questions. And knowing that somehow the answer will be found in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we've got a lifetime, and we believe eternity to work it out. The writer Stanley Jones said, "Get the center right and the circumference takes care of itself. It is Christ and not Christianity who is the center." We need to understand that the faithfulness of Christ to us is such that he understands our questions, he understands our doubts, and he doesn't let go of us when we're trying to work those things out. But he's working with us. He's in the boat. And we need to be a community where people can work things out. There are all sorts of questions. There have been all sorts of storms down through history. Those of you who are, and I know nobody here will be in this camp, because of course I haven't been, but those of you who have been watching Poldark lately will know actually that the leading name in the anti-slavery campaign in this country was not William Wilberforce, but Poldark. Anyway, that's the way they say it. Wilberforce did get a mention last week, just one mention. But I thought it was funny that, you know, there was a storm going on in society and in the church, as much in the church as in society, about whether it was legitimate and right for Christians to own slaves and to exploit them, and almost by definition to oppress them. And we're in the middle of a storm today. We might think we're not, because we're good evangelicals and we don't do that sort of thing, but actually there's a whole debate going on about sexuality today and where people are in relation to God in the middle of that. And it's a discussion which is ongoing and which is not concluded. And it will go on for decades. But the important thing is not to disfellowship one another as we seek the way through it. As with any issue that is before us. Jesus said, "I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace, not the kind a fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to be fear or to be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous." He's in the boat. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, says Paul, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. There's a little bit there that we just sort of tend to pass over as we get on to those lovely ideas of the width and length and height and breadth. But it says that you may have power together. When we gather to worship, we're doing something together. We cease to be alone and we are together. The worship we offer is our worship, not my worship. And I say that as much when I'm where you are as where I am now. I worship, but I worship together. And I worship with a room full of people who are at different places in their Christian walk. Different places in their discovery of God's truth for their lives and about the world. But we're here saying, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're central. They're our foundation. We cleave to them. And we love one another while we sort out the differences. We need to recognize that sometimes faith can be stormy. Just as life can be stormy and the world can be stormy. But that psalm and that passage from Luke's gospel tell me that in the middle of the storm, Christ is with me, who has the power to bring calm and peace. Sometimes he lets us experience the storm for a while. Sometimes the peace will be delivered to us in another life, or rather in this same life, but in another dimension when we are with him. But he says, I'm with you. I'm in your boat. Let's be still for a moment. I want to invite you to join me now as we continue in this order of service with the Beatitudes. This is basic stuff to which all Christians hold, that we believe together. This is what Jesus said. My brothers and sisters, let us recall the blessings spoken and by our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be well filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So let us pray for others. Father, as we gather together for worship today, we join together in prayer in bringing to you our requests and our concerns. We pray for those, Lord, for whom life seems to be one constant storm. One constant battle. We pray that they will come to know that you are in the boat with them, if they will but acknowledge you and call on you. And in particular, Lord, we would remember the widow and family of PC Andrew Harper, killed this week in the line of duty. We pray that you would be with them in their sorrow. And in your time of healing, give them peace and new beginnings. We pray for the parents and church family of Nora Querin, who died in Malaysia in circumstances that are still far from clear. This very vulnerable, young person with learning difficulties. We pray, Lord, for her parents. We cannot imagine how they must feel at this time, when she was so close and yet suffering and in the end dying alone. We pray for those we know and love through this church. We pray for Ian Thompson, for that carer and toddler's mum with chronic pain and the dad with a brain tumour. We pray for Colleen, George, Rebecca, Elizabeth, Stephen, Paul and Anne, who have cancer. For Sue and her friend Martin, who have ME. For Karen Menzies. For Kate Bowie. We thank you that Julie and Anna Sheesby are now back in the country after their visit to Malawi. We thank you that you have blessed them, and we pray that they will bless us when they come to share with us. And we pray for Lucy and David Morrison for protection in their missionary project in Chad. All these we bring to you. In the name of Christ our Lord, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.